Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we humbly bow our hearts to your throne of grace, thank and praise your name for this Shavuot, this Feast of Weeks, the Pentecost, Father, the day that you gave the Holy Spirit to your people. Father, we ask that you would watch over your people, and that you would continue to bless us as we have come together, as you commanded in your word, to keep a holy day, a feast to you, offering, Father, ourselves and the calves of our lips, as well as our offering from our wealth as well, Father, because you told us to come before you 3 times in a year and not come before you empty. So, Father, we ask that you bless those that did not have anything to give, but that you would make them prosperous as they seek to do your will and do that which is right in your sight. Father, we know that you are truly the first and the great cause that can cause each and everything, every blessing to fall upon your people. Help us, Father, to be faithful to you. Help us to keep your covenant law, and help us to turn to you, Father, when times are tough. We know, Father, that the afflictions of the righteous are many. But we ask, Father, as you said in your word, that you would deliver us out of each and every one of them. So we thank you again, Father. And we ask that you touch the hearts and the bodies of those that have a petition before you in the prayer list. And that you would hear their plea, Father, their prayer, and touch their bodies, their finances, or whatever it is that they have a petition before you for. Father, we ask that you would forgive their sins, therefore opening the way for you to bless them. We know, Father, that you can do all things, and that we have but a short time before Yahshua returns. So we ask, Father, that you would magnify your people and your worship, and each one of us that comes before you to give offerings and praise to your holy name. Again, Father, we ask you would open up your word, and that you would touch each and every one of our hearts with your word and cause us to gain the knowledge that you prepared for us this day. We do love you, Father, and we thank you for all that you've done for us, especially the sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. We ask, Father, that you would magnify this offering and that you would make it grow for your honor and your glory and for your mission, Father. Whatever you would have this money do for you, we ask, Father, that you would make it work and magnify it and make it grow. Bless your ministry throughout this world. We ask that you would be with the brethren in Kenya. We ask that you would watch over them and the brethren in other places of the world as well, Father. Touch each and every heart and each and every one that has turned to you to give glory and to worship you, Spirit and in truth, on this, your high holy Sabbath day, Shavuot. In Yahshua's name we pray. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. I've entitled this message, Can Yahweh Trust You? Can Yahweh Trust You, brethren? For an opening scripture, I want you to turn to Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2, we'll start in verse 1. It says, And now, O you priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, says Yahweh of hosts, then will I send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessing. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your seed, and will spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your feet. And there are a lot of people out there keeping the feast today. Okay? But are they keeping the feast, Almighty Yahweh? And you shall be taken away with it, and you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant may be with Levi, says Yahweh of hosts, My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear, and he feared me and stood in awe of my name. And we know that the Levitical priesthood was put in place to serve Almighty Yahweh. Originally, it was the firstborn who were raised up to be the priests of Yahweh. But Yahweh stopped them, and he chose the tribe of Levi to be his priests, his ministers. The law of truth was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and turned many away from iniquity. He turned many away from sin. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. The giving of the law was done. The Ten Commandments to Moses. He told the people to prepare themselves ahead 3 days. Don't come near a woman. Don't be unclean. Prepare yourself to receive the law at Yahweh's mouth. For he is the messenger of Yahweh's host. We are the messengers of Yahweh. That's the Eliyah message, the ministry that of these last days. It's the restoration of Israel, the Eliyah message. But you have turned aside out of the way. You have caused many to stumble in the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says Yahweh's host. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have had respect of persons in the law. And we know from the scriptures that during the days of the Messiah, that's just what happened. The priests, the leading families, had respect to the people instead of the law of Yahweh. They had respect to the Talmud, the book of their fathers. It was respect to people instead of Yahweh. Yahweh was put on a shelf. He was put away. Their lips, they praised Yahweh, but their heart was far from him. In verse 10, it says, have we not all one Father? Has not one El created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, profaning the covenant of our Father? We're supposed to love our brother, each one of us. We're supposed to care for our neighbor. Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem, for Judah has profaned the holiness of Yahweh, which he loved, and has married the daughter of a foreign El. And that's what they did. They went into pagan worship, even if they used the name Yahweh. And they did that as soon as they came out of Egypt. Moses was in the mouth. Oh, we don't know what happened to this Moses. He's been gone for over a month. He's probably dead. What happened? They got Aaron to make him a golden calf. And they say, this is your mighty one that brought us up out of Egypt. They had to see something. And what does the commandment say? You shall have no other Elohim before me. Yahweh is our Elohim. It's because you cannot see him physically. You know, you want to see Yahweh? Look at your brother. Yahweh created each and every one of us in his image. So if we want to see Yahweh, look at your brother. Look at your sister. If we're supposed to love one another, can Yahweh trust you, brother? That's the question I have for you today. Deuteronomy chapter 7. It says that in Malachi, that they had married the daughter of a foreign El. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "And Yahweh your Elohim shall bring you into the land that you are entering to possess it, and shall cast out many nations before you, the Hittite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when Yahweh your Elohim shall deliver them up before you, and you shall defeat them, then you shall utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shall you make marriages with them. Your daughter shall not, you shall not give to his son, nor his daughter shall you take to your son, for he will turn away your son from following me, that they may serve other Elohim. So will the anger of Yahweh be kindled against you, and he will destroy you quickly, but you shall deal with them in this manner. You shall break down their altars and dash in pieces their pillars and hewn down their asherim and burn their carved images with fire. For you are a holy people to Yahweh your Elohim." Yahweh wants us to be a holy people separated from the world, because the world doesn't worship him. Says, "So will the anger of Yahweh be kindled against you, and he will destroy you quickly. But you shall deal with them in this manner. You shall break down their altars. You shall dash in pieces their pillars, and hewn down their asherim, and burn their carved images with fire." In other words, destroy their worship. Because that's what he's talking about. You don't have anything to do with their worship. But you are a holy people to Yahweh your Elohim. Yahweh your Elohim has chosen you to be a people for his own possession above all the nations that are on the face of the earth. Yahweh did not set his love upon you or choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people, but because Yahweh loved you and because he desired to keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, as Yahweh brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now, each one of us came out of a different type of bondage. We came out of pagan worship. None of us were raised in the truth, you might say. Very few. Our kids were. A lot of our kids were. But most of the adults were in pagan worship. And Yahweh rescued us. He brought us into his truth. And it says here, because he loved you and because he desired to keep the oath. That word oath is number 7621, Shavua. It's from the passive participle of 7650. And it means something sworn. He swore something to us. Okay? Yahweh saw something in each and every one of us. That's why he called us out of paganism into his marvelous light. The term an oath can mean a curse. It's from 7650, Shava, a prime root to be complete, to seven oneself. To seven oneself, okay? As if by repeating a declaration seven times, which they did when they came to Jericho. He had them go around Jericho seven times. Adjure, charge, by an oath, with an oath, feed to the full, take an oath, Shabua, the same as 7650, Shava, which means seven. Now, this is also called the Feast of Oath of Seven, because, and we'll look at the scriptures, let's finish this out. It says in verse 9, "Therefore know that Yahweh, your Elohim, he is Elohim, the faithful El, who keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to a thousand generations, and repays them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hates them. He will repay him to his face. You shall therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the ordinances which I command you this day to do them. For Yahweh has given us commandments to keep, to follow. Numbers chapter 8. Numbers chapter 8, we'll start in verse 5. Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them, and thus shall you do to them. To cleanse them, sprinkle the water of expiation on them, and let them cause a razor to pass over all their flesh, and let them wash their clothes and cleanse themselves. Then drop down to verse 14. In this manner shall you separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. And after that shall the Levites go in and do the service of the tent of meeting, and you shall cleanse them and offer them for a wave offering. So the Levites were chosen to be a wave offering. And that's what's done on Pentecost. There was a wave offering, okay? The wave sheaf was the first fruit. That was Yahshua the Messiah, okay? But the wave offerings are the first fruits as well, but it's the first fruit of the next harvest. Yahshua is the first fruits of the barley. The first fruits of the wheat harvest are the people. He chose the Levites. Offer them for a wave offering, for they are wholly given to me from among the children of Israel, instead of all that opens the womb, even the firstborn of all the children of Israel. For he substituted the Levites as the ministers and priests for him instead of the firstborn of each family. For all the firstborn among the children of Israel are mine, both man and of beast. On the day that I killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them for myself. And I have taken the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and to his sons from among the children of Israel to do the service of the children of Israel in the tent of meeting and to make atonement for the children of Israel, and there is no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come near to the sanctuary. See? Each one of us must learn the sanctuary service. We have to fulfill that position as Levi, Almighty Yahweh. Verse 20. It says, in this manner did Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel to the Levites, according to all that Yahweh commanded Moses concerning the Levites. So did the children of Israel to them. And the Levites purified themselves from sin. And that's what we're supposed to do, brothers. We have to separate ourselves from the sinful nature of this world. And they washed their clothes, and Aaron offered them for a wave offering before Yahweh. They became the first fruit. And Aaron made atonement for them to cleanse them. And after the Levites went to do their service in the tent of meeting before Aaron and before his sons, as Yahweh had commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so they did to them. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, this is that which belongs to the Levites, from 25 years old and upward. They shall go in to wait upon the service in the work of the tent of meeting. And from the age 50 years, they shall cease from waiting upon the work. Because this is hard work. They had to lift these offerings up, the heave offerings, the tithes. They lifted these things up to the altar. So these were strong men. They were from the age 25 to 50. And once they became 50, they instructed, they taught. okay? But the young men that were chosen got in there and they did this work. It wasn't easy work, but it was something that was sanctified. Verse 26, but shall minister with their brethren in the tent of meeting to keep the charge, and shall do no service. In this manner shall you do to the Levites concerning their charges. So Yahweh has chosen a special group of people to serve him. Okay? In those days, it was strictly the Levites. I'm going to show you something today. Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy chapter 16, we'll start in verse 9. 7 weeks shall you number to yourself. From the time you begin to put the sickle to the standing grain shall you begin to number 7 weeks. And this was when the sickle was put to the standing grain. The day after the Sabbath, during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when we started our count, the day after is when you started this. You shall begin the number 7 weeks, and you shall keep the Feast of Weeks to Yahweh your Elohim with the tribute of a freewill offering of your hand, which you shall give according as Yahweh your Elohim blesses you. And you shall rejoice before Yahweh your Elohim, you and your son, and your daughter, and your manservant, and your maidservant, and the Levite that is within your gates, and the sojourner, and the fatherless, and the widow that are in the middle of you, and the place that Yahweh your Elohim shall choose. But we're talking about the people who benefit from the third tithe as well, are going to rejoice or be a part of this. And you shall remember that you were a bondman in Egypt, and you shall observe and do these things, these statutes. Now, the term here where it says week in verse 10 is the same term that we saw as oath. And it's from the same, it's from 7620, which is one away from 7621, but the same, it's the same word, Shavuah, same as 7650, Shavuah, seven, it's seven, the Feast of Seven. Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus 23, we'll start in verse 15. It says, and you shall count from the day after the Sabbath. Now the Jews keep their Pentecost different because they don't count from the day after the Sabbath. They count theirs from the high day. So theirs can be any day, their Pentecost. But that's not what the word says. You understand? And this is why we do what we do. We try to keep Yahweh's commandments the way he tells us to. I had someone that answered my, when I sent it out about Pentecost from Facebook, responded saying that they want to keep the Jewish Pentecost. And that's fine. They choose to do that. But that's contrary to what the scriptures teach. It says, you shall count from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths, shall they be complete. Even to the day after the seventh Sabbath, shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meal offering to Yahweh. You shall bring out of your habitation two wave loaves of two-tenths parts of an ephah. They shall be a fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven, a first fruit to Yahweh. And you shall present with the bread seven lambs without blemish, a year old, and one young bullock, and two rams, and they shall be a burnt offering to Yahweh with their meal offering and their drink offering, even an offering made by fire of a sweet savor to Yahweh. And you shall offer one he-goat for a sin offering and two he-lambs a year old for a sacrifice of peace offering. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for the wave offering before Yahweh with the two lambs. They shall be holy to Yahweh for the priest. And you shall make proclamation on this very day. There shall be a holy convocation to you. You shall do no servile work. It is a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generation. Now I'm going to read this next passage as well, next verse. And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field. Now our field is whatever we do, because we're not in an agrarian society and we're not farmers. So we don't have a field that we reap other than what we earn, our way of earning a living. Neither shall you gather the glean of your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. For the first fruits to Yahweh, Yahweh wants us to provide back for our poor brethren by not wholly reaping the corners of our field. And like I said, very few of us are farmers. Does this mean we stop looking out for the poor? No. What it means is that we give to help those people. Okay? And Almighty Yahweh trusts you is the question, brethren. Go over to Leviticus 23, verse 9. It says, and Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have come into the land which I will give you and shall reap the harvest of it, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before Yahweh to be accepted for you. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And we know that our wave sheaf is Joshua the Messiah. Joshua was presented to Yahweh the day after he was waved, the day after the Sabbath. You shall offer a he-lamb without blemish, a year old, for a burnt offering to Yahweh. And a meal offering of it shall be two-tenths parts of the ephah of fine flour, mingled with oil, an offering made by fire to Yahweh for a sweet savor. And the drink offering of it shall be of wine, the fourth part of the hen. And you shall eat neither bread, nor parched grain, nor fresh ears until this very day, until you have brought the oblation of your Elohim. It is a statute forever throughout your generation and all your dwellings. Yahweh fulfilled its presence. Turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 1, it says, now on the first day of the week comes Miriam Magdalene early, while it was yet dark, to the tomb, and sees the stone taken away from the tomb. He runs, therefore, and comes to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Yahshua loved and says to them, they have taken away the rabbi out of the tomb, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter, therefore, went forth and the other disciple, and they went toward the tomb, and they ran both together. And the other disciple outran Peter and came first to the tomb, and stooping, looking in, he sees the linen cloth lying, yet he enters not in. Simon Peter, therefore, also comes following him and entered into the tomb. And he beholds the linen cloth lying and the napkin, that was upon his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then entered in therefore the other disciple, who came first to the tomb, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. For the disciples went away again to their own home. But Miriam was standing outside at the tomb weeping. So as she wept and stooped and looked in the tomb, she beheld two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Yahshua had lain. And they said to her, "Woman, why do you weep?" She says to them, "Because they have taken away my rabbi, and I know not where they have laid him." When she had thus said, she turned herself back and beholds Yahshua standing, and knew not that it was Yahshua. Yahshua says to her, "Woman, why do you weep? And whom do you seek?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, says to him, "Sir, if you have borne him from here, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." He thought he was the gardener because he had the wave shoe. See? Yahshua was the wave shoe. He was the first fruit, the Bikurim. Okay? Yahshua says to her in verse 16, "Miriam," he turns herself and says to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Teacher." Yahshua says to her, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my Elohim is your Elohim." Miriam Magdalene comes and tells the disciples, "I have seen the rabbi, and that he has said these things to her." When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Yahshua came and stood in the middle and said to them, "Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were therefore glad when they saw the teacher. Yahshua therefore said to them again, "Shalom Aleichem. And as the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and says to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven to them. Whose sins you retain, they are retained." Yahshua is the example, brother. He's the first of the first fruits, the Bikurim. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 1. "If there is therefore any exhortation in the Messiah, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tender mercies and compassion, make full my joy that you be of the same mind, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." And the reason you have to be of one accord is that he told them to remain in the city. Okay? Because he was sending the Holy Spirit to them. He was sending them the promise from the Father. But if they didn't listen, if they went in several different directions and split up, they would not have received the blessings from on high that Yahweh had prepared for them. "Doing nothing through faction or through vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, each counting other better than himself, not looking each of you to his own thing, but each of you also to the things of others. Have this mind in you, which was also in the Messiah Yahshua, who existing in the form of Elohim, Count not the being on an equality with Yahweh a thing to be grasped. He wasn't trying to pull himself up like Satan did. He wasn't trying to become more than Almighty Yahweh. He was subject to. How often are we willing to be subject to? As wives, as husbands, as children. See, Yahweh wants the people who he can trust. And Yahweh trusts you to keep his covenant. And he trusts you to do the things that he's called you to do in these last days. But emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even to death. Brethren, that's a tall order. That's something that's going to take a lot for us to do. But if you accept Yahshua's love, if you accept Yahshua's calling, you're accepting his death. You are becoming a partner or partnership with that death. You're signing your death warrant, brethren. Trust me. And Yahweh trusts you to do his will. Yes, the death of the torture state. Therefore also Yahweh highly exalted him and gave to him the name which is above every name. That in the name of Yahshua every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Yahshua the Messiah is master to the glory of Yahweh the Father. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we'll start in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in the Messiah Yahshua. For the law of the Spirit of life in the Messiah Yahshua made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, Yahweh sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the ordinances of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that's what we're called to do, brothers. Walk after the Spirit. Become a spiritual people. For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. For they that are after the Spirit, things of the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity against Yahweh, but is not subject to the law of Yahweh, neither indeed can it be. And they that are in the flesh cannot please Yahweh. We have to be a spiritual people. But you are not in the flesh, but the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of the Messiah, he is none of his. And we must have the Spirit of Almighty Yahweh. And we receive that Spirit by being baptized in Yahshua's name. We receive that Spirit, or that down payment, by accepting his commandments, by keeping his law. In Acts 5:32 it says, he gives his Spirit to them that obey. Now you think about the people out here that claim to have Yahweh's Holy Spirit who are violating the Sabbath, who are not keeping the feast days. They are not Yahweh's people. Doesn't matter whether they use Yahweh's name. Yahweh's people are keeping his covenant. They're not out here committing fornication. They're not out here committing adultery. They're not out here killing people. Okay? It doesn't mean that if they've committed these sins, they cannot repent. I'm not saying that. Because they can. I've shown you in past sermons not long ago about murderers, about Paul, about Peter, who denied Yahshua. about many who have turned their backs on the Messiah. But the thing is, Yahweh is very forgiving. He will forgive you. And this is the thing, what happens with most people is we allow our sins to dominate us. And we can't do that. Your sins are in the past. Okay? You have a new slate when you accept Yahshua the Messiah. Like Trent said, Trent is one of our newest members. He was just baptized during the Passover season. And he had dealt with some things, and Yahweh lifted him up, gave him what he needed to have so that he could move on. He wanted to be a part of Yahweh's people. And he wanted Yahweh's Holy Spirit. So therefore, he did the things necessary. He put the things behind him of his past and asked Yahweh to forgive him. And Yahweh forgave him. Just like he forgave each and every one of you that has committed yourself to Almighty Yahweh. See, this is why Satan wants to continually whisper in your ear, well, you did this, but you know, you're not right. But that's not true. Because Yahshua died so that his blood covers those sins. The key is not to continue doing it. Okay? But we do have an advocate. We do have Yahshua. We do have an insurance policy if we do fall. For the righteous man will fall 7 times, as the scripture says. But brethren, don't worry when Satan comes and throws the stuff in your face. You can quote scripture right back to him. Yahshua died for me. He did it just for me. Verse 10, it says, and if the Messiah is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Yahshua from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up the Messiah Yahshua from the dead shall give life also to your mortal body through the spirit that dwells in you. And that's why we need Yahshua's Holy Spirit. That's why we get baptized, so that we would be able to be raised as well, because we are that Levitical or that wave offering to Yahweh. We are the first fruits of Almighty Yahweh as well. First fruits of a different harvest. Yahshua is the first fruit of the wheat harvest, remember? I mean, the barley. We are of the wheat. We come after. Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 16, it says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary the one to the other, that you may not do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, wrath, factions, division. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to divide Yahweh's people. He wants you to go in different directions: party, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Now, I had a man come to me and say, well, you can't be of Yahweh because I saw you drinking a beer. It says drunkenness here, okay? It didn't say you can't drink, but it says you're not supposed to get drunk. There's a point you can't go beyond. If you know your limit is 3 beers, you can't drink 4. The scripture teaches that we have to be a holy people. And if we're drunk, we cannot claim to be holy people. they that who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. We must have self-control, brethren. Against such there is no law. There's no law against that. And they that are of the Messiah, Yahshua, have impaled the flesh with the passions and the lust of it. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become vainglorious, provoking one another, envying one another. And I did a message not too long ago about envying. So, brethren, we have to put Yahweh first in our life and walk towards His kingdom. And to do that, we're going to follow Yahshua the Messiah. Back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we'll pick up in verse 12 where we left off. So then, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh.
I've never seen that scripture before.
To live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if you put the deeds of the body to death by the Spirit, that's how we put them to death, by Yahweh's Holy Spirit. If you don't have it, you need to get it. And for you to get it, you know what you need to do. Repent. There's a process. Getting some feedback, Al. But if you put the deeds of the body to death by the Spirit, you shall live. It's telling you how to live. For as many that are led by the Spirit of Yahweh, these are the sons of Elohim. And that's what we want to be, Yahweh's children. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of Elohim. And if children, then heirs, heirs of Yahweh, and joint heirs with the Messiah. If so, we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed toward us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the revealing of the sons of Elohim. For the creation was subjected to vanity, not of its own will, but by reason of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of Elohim. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only so, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit. We receive the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for our adoption, namely the redemption of our body. For in hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for that which he sees? But if we hope for that which we do not see, then we wait with patience for it. And in like manner, the Spirit also helps our infirmity. For we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because it makes intercession for the saints according to the will of Yahweh. It makes intercession for us, brethren, according to the will of Yahweh. And we know that to them that love Yahweh, all things work together for good. All things, even to them that are called according to his purpose. And truly, we have been called according to Yahweh's purpose. For whom he foreknew, He also foreordained to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And I showed you, Yahshua was the first fruit. He was the Nicolaitan, the firstborn of many brethren. And whom he foreordained, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Yahshua justified them. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So for us to receive that glorious first fruits, brethren, we have to follow suit. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 12. Now, if the Messiah is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, neither has the Messiah been raised. And if the Messiah has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also vain. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of Yahweh, because we witness of Yahweh that he raised up the Messiah, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, neither has the Messiah been raised. And if the Messiah has not been raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then they also that have fallen asleep and the Messiah have perished. If we have only hoped in the Messiah in this life, we are of all men most pitiable. But now is the Messiah, now has the Messiah been raised from the dead, the first fruits of them that are asleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, for also in the Messiah shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, the Messiah, the first fruit. Then they that are the Messiahs at his coming. Then comes the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to Yahweh, even the Father, when he shall have abolished all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be abolished is death. He shall put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says, all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he is accepted who has subject all things to him. And when all things have been subjected to him, then shall the Son himself also be subjected to him that did subject all things to him, that Yahweh may be all in all. Yahshua is the first fruit. And then his people are first fruits as well, but of a different harvest. Revelation chapter 14. And Yahweh trusts you, brethren, is the title of this message. Because if he can trust you, he will raise you up to be a first fruit to him. Revelation 14, verse 1. And I saw, and behold, the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of the great thunder. And the voice I heard was as the voice of harpers, harping with their harps. And they sing, as it were, a new song, before the throne and before the four living creatures. And the elders, and no man could learn the song except 144,000, even they that had been purchased out of the earth. These are they that were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they that follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were purchased from among men to be the first fruits to Yahweh and to the Lamb. And in their mouth is found no lie. They are without blemish. Revelation chapter 7. And we'll start in verse 1 there. Revelation 7, 1. And after this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that no wind should blow on the earth, or on the sea, or upon any tree. And I saw another angel ascend from the sunrise, having the seal of the living Elohim. And he cried with a great voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, do not hurt the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, until we have sealed the servants of our Elohim on their foreheads. And I heard the number of them that were sealed, 144,000, sealed out of every tribe of the children of Israel. And you can read later on down the rest of who was sealed. Jacob, or James in the King James Version, chapter 1. Jacob chapter 1, verse 12. It said, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he shall receive the crown of life, which Yahweh promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of Yahweh. For Yahweh cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no man. But each man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then the lust, when it has conceived, bears sin. And the sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Be not deceived, brethren, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light, with whom can be no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. He brought us forth by the word of truth. There are so many groups out there teaching lies and downright error, brethren. They not only do not have Yahweh's Holy Spirit, they have Satan's spirit, trying to separate Yahweh's people and cause them to be lost. You have to beware of the false prophets. Beware of those who are trying to pull you away, because Yahweh is looking for a people that he can trust to be the first fruits of his harvest. Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry, nor lift up his voice, nor cause it to be heard in the street. A bruised reed will he not break, and a dimly burning wick will he not quench. He will bring forth justice in truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged. So he has set justice in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. In this manner says El Yahweh, he that created the heavens and stretched them forth, he that spreads abroad the earth and that which comes out of it, he that gives breath to the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk in it. I, Yahweh, have called you in righteousness, and will hold your hand, and will keep you, and give you for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am Yahweh, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to a carved image. Too many people are still worshiping pagan mighty ones. But we know the truth, brother. When Yahshua was baptized, They said it was like a dove, the Holy Spirit, coming down upon him. When, which we'll see in a minute, his brethren were in that one place, they said that the Holy Spirit was on them like flames of fire. We'll read it. Actually, that's where we're going next. Acts chapter 2. Verse 1, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was now come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound as of a rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them a tongue dividing apart, like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance." Drop down to verse 37. Like I said, you can read in between at your own leisure. But in verse 37 of Acts chapter 2, it says, "Now when they heard this, they were quick in their hearts." And these are the people that heard what Peter was saying. "And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yahshua the Messiah, to the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." It's a process, brethren, but it's something that we all have to do to receive Yahweh's Holy Spirit. For our closing passage, turn with me to Isaiah 42. I have Isaiah 42, verse 18. It says, "Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant? Or deaf as my messenger that I send? Who is blind as he that is at peace with me, and blind as Yahweh's servant? You see many things, but you observe not. His ears are open, but he hears not. It pleased Yahweh for his righteousness' sake to magnify the law and make it honorable. And that law which we teach is honorable. Each one of us have to accept the law of Almighty Yahweh in our life and keep the covenant." And verse 22, "But this is a people robbed and plundered. They are all of them snared and holed, and they are hid in the prison house. They are for a prey, and no one delivers, for a plunder, and no one says, Restore. Who is there among you that will give ear to this, that will listen and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a plunder and Israel to the robber? Did not Yahweh, he against whom we have sinned, and in whose ways they would not walk, neither were they obedient to his law? Therefore he poured upon them the fierceness of his anger and the strength of the battle. And it set him on fire all around, yet he knew not, and it burnt him, yet he laid it not to heart." Closing passage is Isaiah 59. We'll read verses 1 to 4 and then 12 to 21. Isaiah 59, starting in verse 1. "Behold, Yahweh's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your Elohim, and your sins have hid his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue mutters wickedness. No one calls for righteousness, and no one pleads for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. And drop down to verse 12. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them, transgressing and denying Yahweh. And that's something we cannot do, brethren. We cannot deny Yahweh, because we know what Yahweh wants us to do. We know his law. That's why he asked, can he trust? Transgressing and denying Yahweh and turning away from following our Elohim, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and justice is turned away backward, and righteousness stands afar off, for truth has fallen in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking, and he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. And Yahweh saw it. And it displeased him that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness, it upheld him. And he put on the righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with the zeal as a mantle. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay wrath to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the island he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of Yahweh from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. For he will come as a rushing stream which the breath of Yahweh drives, and a redeemer will come to Zion, and to them that turned from transgression in Jacob, says Yahweh. And as for me, this is my covenant with them, says Yahweh, my spirit that is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of your seed's seed, says Yahweh, from now on and forever. If Yahweh makes this kind of promise to each and every one of his people that are keeping his covenant, he can trust it. Because he says this is going to be not only to us, but our children and our children's children. So Yahweh's blessing his people with his Holy Spirit, which is what we need to make it into the kingdom, to be the first fruit following Yahshua the Messiah. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as you follow in the footsteps of our Savior, Yahshua. At this time, I'd like to ask if Brother Winston would close with a word of prayer.
Almighty Yahweh, again, we thank you for coming together to worship on this holy day, day of Pentecost. Honor you, your son who gave his life for us and shed his blood to atone for our sins. We thank you for this great message. It was truly a great one. I know I love it. It has great meanings to me to help me get my life more in order, and I know all the brothers and sisters is listening to this message. We thank you, Greg, and give all praise, honor, and glory to the great name of Yahweh's host in the heavens on high. His son for this month. Again, we ask for those on the prayer list that you would lift them up from the beds of affliction and deliver them and be with us throughout this day and help us to be your people, Father, always looking to you for answers that we can't solve on things of our own. We thank again and praise you and always seek to honor give you the glory and praise as due your great holy name. Master Yahshua's holy name, I ask you to pray and say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.